Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast. Gotta
casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
and find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
I got a lot of thoughts about this. I mean, that's why we're doing the podcast. I got a lot of thoughts about this movie.
Glad you have thoughts about the podcast that we do for an hour and a half on a movie every week.
Your picks have been horrible, man.
It's the point. It's the point of the show. Isn't it? It's possible. I don't understand what this podcast is about.
Poppycock. It's a fuck house.
On a weekly basis, we are consuming more concentrated bad movies than probably anybody in the history of mankind.
Poppycock.
What story? What story? What are you talking about?
Do you want lunch?
I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean.
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all alone. Okay.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love or afraid to admit you hate a lot more than you thought you did. I'm Zach Harper, that's Amin Alhassan, that's Anthony Mays. Reminder, if you have a submission, 40% or lower on Rotten Tomatoes for the audience score or the critics score. And by the way, head on over to patreon.com/countthedings, which you can find a link to on countthedings.com, which has information about everything we do. We've got a lot more stuff there on Count the Dings Patreon. So patreon.com/countthedings, hit that up. This week on Cinephobe, we watch the 2013 comedy, I guess, Movie 43. Movie 43 isn't a movie. It's a lot of different little short videos. It's like
it is a movie.
An hour and a half of SNL shorts. No, I mean, it's not, because
it's a movie.
You tried to say in the chat, look, it's like the Rick and Morty episode.
It is.
They do the TV stuff, right?
Yeah, an interventional cable. It's a movie. No. And in this movie, they're watching different movie shorts, but we get to watch the movie shorts with them. So what Zach is alluding to is these different individual movies that the overall movie watches. If you ever watched like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or those sitcoms of the 90s, they always had an episode where it was just like a clip show, right? They didn't want to do actual work. So they had all these best of moments, but they never just said, here are best of. There would be a story to the actual episode, like, Uncle Phil, we really want to go on a trip to the Bahamas. Yes, but we're waiting for, you know, the rain to stop. And while we wait, remember the time when this happened? And they just throw to these different clips. That's what this movie is like. There's a thread between all of these different mini movies in it. And that thread is these people watching it.
No, I don't agree. Stay tuned. Stay tuned is a movie. Stay Tuned is what this movie tried to be, in my opinion.
What is Stay Tuned?
John Ritter gets like the devil's satellite TV service. And the whole trick is like the devil then sucks them into hell. They got to save, you know, the family and all this shit, right? So they essentially go to hell, and it's a lot of TV parodies. They're kind of navigating and it's just a bad situation after bad situation. So it's a deal with the devil. It's a lot like Ghost Rider, but just TV.
Well, this is our 47th episode, and I am still amazed by the wealth of knowledge you have about shitty movies throughout time.
I've watched Stay Tuned like 10 times in my life. I can't believe you never heard of it.
As you're describing it, I'm just like, wow, this man is really... You're quite the national treasure you are, Zach Harper.
Here's like, the thing.
Encyclopedic knowledge of awful movies.
Here's the thing. It doesn't even qualify.
It's too good?
It's 44% from the critics, 55% on the audience score. Well, I was going to pick it. I was going to say, you know what? Fuck this. I mean, I'm going to show you what a real version of this movie is, and we're going to do it next week, and it's going to be stay tuned. But it doesn't even qualify, so I can't even do that.
The thing about comparing it to Rick and Morty, though, Amin, is that Rick and Morty is a TV show that has a writer's room, and Interdimensional Cable seems like just the leftover things from writing other things that they couldn't get into Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Whereas this is entirely... this is it. This is all they had. And it just is a sign of this being before the streaming era. If this project came around now, they do it on Netflix and it'd be some weird 15-minute short series.
It was like Room 104 on HBO.
I'm convinced that this movie is what launched Quibi.
Oh my God.
This movie was made for Quibi. That's all it is.
Or these movies, you mean, were made for Quibi.
Yeah, right. These short videos.
Here's the thing. The actual movie 43... isn't good.
Because there is no through line.
There is, it's just not very good.
No, there is, but it doesn't matter. So that's why that's why it's not a movie.
Well, the thing that's so confusing is that there's apparently multiple.
Is there? Where?
The one that I think we all watched is the kids, right? Hacking. That's the structure that we all watched?
Right, yeah.
But there's also supposed to be one that was the original cut where it's the actual producer, Charlie Wessler, pitching scripts to a film executive played by Greg Kinnear and Dennis Quaid.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, that sounds way better and way... Oh my God.
That makes a lot more sense because I'll hit you with this. So we're going to do this a little differently because it's just... this is just a clusterfuck of a series of videos put together and called a movie. Because the synopsis for movie 43 is... A series of interconnected short films follows a washed-up producer as he pitches insane storylines featuring some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. None of that happened in the version I watched.
That's not the movie we saw.
No, of course not.
No.
I don't think the Zack Snyder cut version of movie 43 pulls it all together. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say if we get that version, because that was the other thing. Is like, you know, I do the prep for this. I go through the cast and everything. I go through the reviews, all that stuff. Who did what? And then I watch the movie. And so the whole time, I'm like, where the fuck is Dennis Quaid and Greg Kinnear?
The reviews were based on that version?
I don't think the reviews gave a fuck about what version. I don't know what version they watched.
It looks like the one we watched is like the DVD version. So they released a version with Greg Kinnear and Dennis Quaid into theaters and then completely changed everything.
Common is supposedly in it. Will Sasso's apparently in it.
Your boy Seth MacFarlane was supposed to go back to back.
Right. Seth MacFarlane's supposed to be in this, I mean. I didn't see him once.
Okay. Now I'm thoroughly, thoroughly confused.
Right. Okay. Tagline. Comedy exposed. Is it though? We have multiples. The biggest cast ever assembled for the most outrageous comedy ever made.
Okay.
That's accurate.
Is it?
It's outrageous.
It's a huge cast.
Everything you've heard about this movie is true. Unspeakable, unforgivable, unbelievable, unsafe, unreal, and just plain wrong.
See, and that tends to the version that we saw, right?
Yeah.
This is shocking.
Cover your eyes, block your ears. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. That I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one. Some extremely warped minds have gathered together the most astonishing A-list cast in cinematic history and then made them expose themselves like never before. Nothing makes sense in any of this shit.
No. I feel like we're stuck in some sort of haunted kind of enchantment, right?
This does feel like Peter Fonda is the devil. And after you guys shit on Ghost Rider, he decided, I got these motherfuckers.
Hey, I filed Ghost Rider. Chill.
Did you?
Did I? Jesus.
Oh, then this is Amin's fault.
Yeah.
This is definitely Amin's fault.
Well, yeah, because he picked the fucking thing.
I took a calculated risk when I chose Takers. Having not seen the movie, I think Amin...
Calculated risk?
At the house on this.
Yeah, that's a future callback because we haven't released that episode yet as we tape this. Calculated risk. What was the calculation there?
What was the calculation? Yes, I'd like to hear about this.
I hadn't seen the movie.
Goodwill Hunting. What was the calculation? Show us the formula. Show us your work.
How about them apples, Zach?
Okay, this also doesn't make sense. This is why I don't believe anything. This says it had a $6 million estimated budget. There's no fucking way.
If everybody did it for free.
Everybody did it for free. Had to. Had to.
Why would they do it for free?
Because it's 10 minutes of their time, or whatever. You're not 10 minutes, but you know what I'm saying.
I guess, yeah.
Since each individual piece was so quick.
Whatever, I don't care. Grossed $8.8 million in the U.S., $32.4 million worldwide. Technically a hit, if the $6 million budget is correct.
This guy Charlie Wessler is a con man.
Before we jump into whatever the fuck this movie is supposed to be, if it's a movie. Movie 43 is available, Amazon Prime, Showtime, Hulu. All that stuff.
It's always a bad sign, right?
Movie 43 receives 5%, 5 American percentage points from the critics on 88 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 24% from the audience on over 35,000 ratings. Amin, you want the positive or the negative reviews?
I'd love to hear what the positives are. You know, I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Well, everybody's just thinking about the negative. Well, I think the glass is half full. Everybody thinks it's half empty.
Luke Buckmaster of InFilm Australia.
Is that his real name? Do you think that's a nom de plume or is that his real name?
I mean, it is Australia. Right, I'm more inclined to believe it, but no. I don't know anything that's real with this episode.
Real quick, best Australian accent you can say, Luke Buckmaster.
Oi, I'm Luke Buckmaster.
Maze?
Crikey.
Luke Buckmaster from Film Review.
Movie 43 has a great deal more on its mind than poo and fart jokes. More, in fact, than most comedies that come out of Hollywood. Though the mauling it's received over the last couple of weeks suggests a critic isn't supposed to say that. Perry Selbert of TV Guide. If you're interested in seeing Oscar winners, Tony winners, and a bunch of genuinely talented people act out the raunchiest, most inappropriate material you're likely to see this year, Movie 43 fits the bill.
I feel like that was kind of like a very carefully worded review.
Yes.
And also like the most generous of quote-unquote positives that Rotten Tomatoes could give.
That is the equivalent of, I'm sorry if you were offended.
Yes.
It's not an actual apology.
No.
Michael O'Sullivan of The Washington Post. Movie 43 is a near masterpiece of tastelessness. The anthology of 12 short interconnected skits elevates the art form of gross-out comedy to a new height.
Not all of them.
Alonzo Duraldi of The Rep. Movie 43 is gross, juvenile, disgusting, scatological, vile, reprehensible, and in the worst possible taste. But heaven help me, I laughed.
I definitely laughed. Not all the way through, but I laughed at times.
And since there were only 4 positive reviews, I grabbed a couple of user reviews.
Okay.
User Barry B, 5 out of 5 stars. One of the funniest I have seen, as good as Blazing Saddles.
Wow! What a callback.
First, yes, what an amazing callback. This thing about Blazing Saddles being the gold standard that all comedies will
Blazing Saddles is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
But I wouldn't say it's the greatest comedy of all time.
It's definitely up there, but it is kind of random. It is a random pull.
Yeah.
For people to continuously be using as the gold standard. But Barry B. thought of Blazing Saddles when he watched this movie. Just keep that in mind.
User Daniel S., 4.5 out of 5 stars. This movie is for intellectuals, and there are 3 exclamation points.
Okay.
Negative reviews. Ben Sachs of Chicago Reader. Despite all the gross-out humor, the most offensive thing about this is the lazy filmmaking. Every shot feels like a first take, and the haphazard editing precludes any comic timing.
That's where you were offended?
Elizabeth Weitzman of New York Daily News. As a film critic, I've seen nearly 4,000 movies over the last 15 years.
Flex.
Right now, I can't think of one worse than Movie 43.
Wow.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'd love to have you as a guest on Cinephobe.
Yeah, come on Cinephobe, Elizabeth. We got to talk.
Coward.
Sherry Linden of LA Times. How many directors does it take to screw in a star-studded piece of aggressive stupidity and call it a movie? And even dozen, and there is no punchline.
That's why you're a critic and not a filmmaker.
Richard Roper. Movie 43 is the Citizen Kane of awful.
I like that. That's how you do it.
Peter Howell of the Toronto Star. Your laugh mileage may vary, God forbid, but we can all agree on one thing. This is the biggest waste of talent in cinema history.
Rat Race. I present to you Rat Race.
Oh, that's a good call. Maybe future episode.
I actually like Rat Race, so.
It's just the sheer amount of talent in that movie that did nothing.
Lou Lumenick of the New York Post.
Aha.
If you mashed up the worst parts of the infamous Howard the Duck, Gigli, Ishtar, and every other awful movie I've seen since I started reviewing professionally in 1981, it wouldn't begin to approach the sheer soul-sucking badness of movie 43. Why did Gigli and Howard the Duck get thrown in there? File.
I hope we never watch that.
Brian Orndorff.
Oh, Brian's back.
Brian, by the way, when I looked at Stay Tuned, his review came up. That was Brian Orndorff of BrianOrndorff.com, but this one is Brian Orndorff of Blu-ray.com. If your idea of a gut-busting good time at the multiplex is to see Jackman clown around with a pair of testicles on his neck, accidentally dipping them in butter and slapping them on the head of a baby, then movie 43 is pure gold.
That sounds like a positive to me.
Let me tell you, when I read this review, because I've never seen this movie before, I was very confused.
Yes, the legends are true, all of them.
Two more. Kim Newman of Empire Magazine. Just know.
Oh, just know. I was like, just know what? What should we know?
And then a blank user who gave it half star out of five. This is legit the third worst movie I've ever seen, and I've seen some garbage. This is an abomination of a movie, and I kind of regret watching it. I wish I had the other two.
Yeah, we need the other two.
Yeah, blank Ooh. User, please come on the show. Amin, what's your first note?
My first note is this the No Regrets dude from We're the Millers?
Yeah!
Is that him?
Is it him?
No Regrets!
Hey, those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro. You yeah. see the cobra?
Man, what is this one?
Oh, this? Uh-huh. That's my credo. No regrets.
Mm-hmm. You have no regrets?
Dad?
Nope.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
I love him. I think he's great.
Okay.
I think he's a real winner, Casey. If I were you, I wouldn't use protection.
Oh, shit. I didn't even put that together. I never even thought about that.
I believe We're the Millers qualifies.
Turns out, maybe he did have one regret.
Amin, I'll save us some time. File. I fucking love We're the Millers. Oh. We can still do the episode, but file.
I like that this is Zach's new thing where he just... He just files things now. It doesn't qualify, 47%.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, I guess I'm glad it doesn't. No, because it should be like 75% if it's not going to qualify.
Yeah, don't barely make it.
Yeah, don't tease us. Just put it in. You know what I mean.
I just found some trivia that made me very upset.
What is it?
All right, we start with a home recording of some guy, the No Regrets guy, attempting the bullseye. What's the bullseye, you ask? He has a dart in his mouth, his friend throws a dartboard at his face, and they hit the bullseye with the mouth dart. They upload it to something called View This, but then they refer to it as YouTube. So they just couldn't pay for the branding?
No, it's so it took me a while to figure out what they were going for. They thought they were uploading it to YouTube, but the little brother had fooled them by creating a fake YouTube called View This, and they were just too dumb to recognize that it wasn't the actual real YouTube.
Okay.
Yes. That's the appropriate reaction right there. Okay.
Because then they do like Zwoogle instead of Google.
Yeah, that one I think was on purpose. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. The actual movie that ties together all these other mini movies is not good. That's a definite phobe for me.
That movie?
Yeah, this storyline, it makes Scary Movie 3 look like Schindler's List or Inception, like the way the writing, the acting, all of it is just so bad.
They upload it, their views are going crazy, but it's just because the little brother messed with the numbers. It doesn't matter. They want to upload a virus into the little brother's computer as revenge, so they lure him out with a movie on the internet that the FBI is trying to pull down. They say it can cause horrible consequences, and if you watch it all the way through, you're rewarded beyond your wildest dreams. It's like The Ring, but good, and with boobs.
It can make you shit out your intestines and pull off your own dick.
That's when I wrote the note, I feel like watching movie 43 all the way through will be the opposite of this effect.
I thought it would make good on the whole pull off your own dick part.
They look up movie 43 on Zwoogle, no results. They look up movie 43 on the dark web, and small videos come up, so they start going through them. We start with The Catch. This is going to be real annoying, because now I got to go back. All right, The Catch is starring Hugh Jackman,
yep.
Who we know from Swordfish, Kate Winslet from Titanic.
Does that qualify?
Julie Claire from Scandal. Kate Finneran from Brockmire and Roy Jenkins from Heartbreak Kid.
Yes.
Peter Farrelly directed this one. Rocky Russo and Jeremy Sosenko, who wrote the majority of these skits or videos, wrote this one, but they're joined by Bill O'Malley, whose only IMDb credit is writing this short.
Mm.
Kate Winslet is nervous about a date. She's trying to poke holes in the guy's work, but we find out he's wildly successful. She says maybe he's ugly, essentially. Then we look, and her friend has a picture of him on Gotham Magazine. He's on the cover with the headline, "Why is this man still single?" There's also the headline, "Dolphin Massacre." I don't know if you noticed that. They're going to dinner, they're waiting, they're, you know, talking about how soft a scarf is and everything. He takes off his scarf and reveals that he has testicles on his neck, just hanging from his neck.
Nutsack neck!
I laughed at the reveal.
Okay.
I knew it was like, it was lowest common denominator humor.
It was.
But I laughed. I mean, it just so shocking. And the look on her face just sold it for me.
It is super funny when you think back to the cover of saying, "Why is this man still single?" Right?
Yeah.
It's distracting her. She can't take her eyes off of his neck nuts.
What's the most awkward thing you've ever noticed on a date? Think of Fred Savage and Austin Powers with the mole. Like, what, one of those type of things.
One of the eyes was sort of pointed more in.
Yeah.
Not cross-eyed, but like, not cross-eyed.
Close, yeah.
It was like on the road to cross-eyed.
What about you, Maze?
I just had a situation where it was dramatically different than the pictures.
Oh, yeah, I had one of those, too.
Really big glasses, completely different hair, braces.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I was trying to build up to the joke.
And then he just...
Yeah, go ahead, Maze. Braces. Didn't have braces in real life? Were you disappointed about that?
No, she did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the idea is that the running joke is that you're a kid fucker.
Yeah. And it's like, what is this? Puberty!
I was promised braces!
It's been so long, I had actually forgotten that I'm a pedophile on this podcast. My bad.
No, I mean, what's yours?
Never anything that bad. I mean, bad breath.
Oh, yeah.
You see someone like, oh, that's da-da-da, and then you go out and they're like, oh my God. I kind of just think, well, maybe it's not that bad. And then every time they talk, I smell it. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. It makes you worried about later.
It does.
They're getting special treatment from the restaurant because he's just so loved. He spills a little soup on his nuts. She asks if he got made fun of as a kid. And he says yes for his stutter.
Yeah.
She finally gets him to talk about his neck. And he mentions a scar from his youth. But then moves his balls to the side to reveal the scar. Got called Frankenstein.
Kids can be so mean.
He gets a chill from a vent and his nuts shrink up.
Oh boy.
I thought that was clever.
I love that kind of humor where they just keep extending it over and over and over again. And Peter Farrelly, whichever Farrelly did this, they definitely kept the joke going. Because every time she's trying to get someone's attention about it, like, it just never gets answered.
The waiter accidentally hits a plate on his nuts, and he says he's got a stomach ache. Friends come over with their baby. He holds the baby. The nuts are on the kid's head. He accidentally dips his nuts in the butter dish for the lobster. They take a picture, and she's avoiding his nuts in the shot the whole time. It's very awkward. She's very uncomfortable.
The picture might be the funniest part, because the woman who's taking the picture says, come on, get closer. Face to face, and meanwhile, Kate Winslet is just saying,
take it.
Okay. The way she says it just had me dying.
He goes to kiss her on the forehead, and she freaks out when his nuts hit her face. End short.
All right, so thumbs up, thumbs down.
You know what? I'm going to go thumbs up. I laughed enough during it. I thought it was funny.
I filed it. I would file it because it is typical Farrelly Brothers. If you've seen Me, Myself, and Irene, Stuck on You, Shallow Hal.
Yep.
It's very in those veins, like childish, sophomoric humor. But you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh at Kate Winslet. Her acting was incredible in it.
She's phenomenal in this.
I probably would not have thumbs it up at the beginning.
Wow.
But I will thumbs it up now.
Okay. Now we get the new short, Homeschooled. It's Naomi Watts and Liev Schreiber. They're homeschooling their kid, Lip, from Shameless. Directed by Will Graham, who directed a bunch of Onion News Network and Onion Sports Dome stuff. He also wrote this one with Jack Kudota. Watts and Liev Schreiber, their kid is homeschooled. He gets real homework assignments for them. But they don't just want to do that. They want to give him the whole high school experience while schooling him from home. So here's what they do. The mom has a chalkboard and she's chastising him and getting his name wrong for getting an F on a test. The dad's sending him through gym class drills and nails him with a dodgeball. They try to alienate him to make him more normal. So, you know, they write a homophobic slur on the fridge. And they keep repeating the slur under their breath as he walks by. The mom passes him on the stairs, knocks his books out of his hands. The dad walks in on the shower, makes fun of his pubes, and says, "Guys, come check out his weird pubes."
Yeah.
They throw a party and don't let him into his own house. As the dad is dancing all over this teenage girl.
The girl that he has a crush on.
Yeah, the girl that he's got a crush on.
Yep.
He gets taped to a flagpole, has "freshman suck" written in shit on his chest, and he's forced to say that he sucks dicks over and over as the dad films it. They want his first kiss to be as awkward as possible. The mom is sitting next to him on the bed trying to kiss him. She kisses him, asks if he has protection. Then the dad starts, flirting with him for a homophobic experience.
"I'm not gay, but if I was, I'd be into guys like you."
Then they cut back to the dinner party with the two couples. And he comes out and he seems normal as fuck.
Well adjusted, yeah.
He's going out, he's going to meet some people, and then he's going to take Jen to catch a movie with him. And so they say, "All right, fantastic." And he pulls out this doll with mop hair and a pic of his own mom's face taped to it. Pretends to do the voice for her. The guests are horrified, and we end the short.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down?
There's a point where it crossed the line, where I'm like, okay, now I'm uncomfortable. This short borrowed heavily off of two Seth MacFarlane vehicles. I filed it. Part of it is because Liv Schreiber and Naomi Watts do a great job of selling it. I was uncomfortable by the whole awkward kiss part. Like, I was just like, maybe gone too far there. The homophobic slur, while offensive, is hilarious in the sense that it replicates like what life is like in high school, where kids are often douches.
Oh my god. So you really believe they replicated that authentic experience?
Yes, what an amazing sentence to say out loud, by the way. The homophobic slur, while offensive, was funny.
I laughed, man. I laughed at Zach just bringing it up.
Jeremy Allen White, who plays Lip in Shameless, I'm a big fan of him in Shameless. I think he's great in this. He sells the whole thing. Yeah, it's a thumbs up for me.
All right, two for two.
Two for two, except for Maze. Maze thumbs downed it.
Well.
Thumbed it down?
Thumbs it.
All
right, now it's time for the proposition. This one is Anna Faris and Chris Pratt. Anna Faris from Just Friends, House Bunny. Chris Pratt from Jurassic World. J.B. Smoove from Hall Pass.
Well, you got to say Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec for this one, because this is out of shape Chris Pratt.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good call.
This is fat Chris Pratt. This is Chris Fat.
Pre-cum gutter Guardians of the Galaxy Chris Pratt.
A term that I learned from Rick and Morty.
I can't believe you didn't know that before.
I've never heard that term in my life.
Wow. Is that a Two Americas thing? Because that was something I had heard back in like D'Angelo, How Does It Feel?
I would say it's a Two Americas, but not black white.
Oh.
I just feel like, yeah, that might have originated.
I don't even know if that makes sense to me.
Cum gutter? Why would cum be going?
If you shot it on your own stomach?
I don't know what America means living in.
Gutter back down.
I was thinking a different source. Shall we say.
Why would you aim for the hip?
I don't know.
I would check your fridge, Zach, and see if a meme's written any slurs on it.
There's also Maria Arce in this one, who I just want. She's really hot, and she's in Paul Blart Mall Cop. And the reason I mention that is because The Proposition is directed by Steve Carr, who directed Paul Blart Mall Cop and Next Friday.
Next Friday was the worst of the Fridays, by the way.
Anna Faris and Chris Pratt are at a picnic. He has an engagement ring. She wants to ask him a question. As he wants to ask her a question, they're going to say it at the same time. So they start to count to three, and she goes on two, much like Amin Al-Hassan. She asks him if he'll poop on her before he can ask her to marry him. She feels he's her soulmate and wants him to be the first guy to poop on her. She questions if he's attracted to her when he hesitates. Now we're at a barbecue at their home. J.B. Smoove says that he's hit the fucking lottery, and she's wearing an apron that says, "Bless this dump." Very subtle.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down, man. Have respect for this guy, okay? She did not ask him to shit on her. Shitting is something you do on a whore.
Right.
Right? Pooping is a gift you give to your soulmate.
Okay.
Of course.
I never looked at it like that.
So tell me, man, what's on the menu before you do the big deed?
I don't know. Does it fucking matter?
Is she a vegetarian?
No.
Boom! Big beef burrito with extra beans on that bad boy. Put some salsa, some guacamole for color. When it come out of you, it's a festival. You know what I'm saying? You went the extra yard for your lady.
No.
You hear me?
I'm doing something classy, okay? I'm doing seared ahi tuna steaks, a salad, and red wine.
No, nice. No. Fucking no! It's not about how fancy it goes in. It's about how fancy it comes out. Mm. And believe me, Mexican food makes a fucking mess. And don't mess in fucking salads. You know what salad does? It locks down your bowels. You know what your bowels all locked down, do you? No. Drinks are cool. Have a few fucking drinks. Makes you last longer.
Last longer?
You don't want to be Mr. Two Squeeze, thank you please, right?
You really don't want to be that.
Billy, goddamn Billy. Why don't you go over there while grown people are talking over here? Go over there and play with the G.I. Joes or some shit, man.
Yeah, I'll go over there.
Look it. Take my advice on this one. You go out tonight and you shit on a few skinks. Okay?
Yes.
You get it all out your system. Fucking tomorrow, you are a one poop man. Understand?
What the fuck is this?
Viagra, brother. Poop Viagra. Yeah.
You just carry that on you?
Yeah, I carry this shit around with me.
At barbecues?
You goddamn right. I got a meat problem. I eat fucking meat. I gotta clean that shit out. Okay.
This is very okay. Leon, all of this.
It's very Leon. We get the whole distinction between like saying shitting on and pooping on. Shitting on is for hookers, pooping on is for soulmates.
And I also love how he's just absolutely destroying the random dude who's there, yeah. Billy. Tells him to go play with G.I. Joe's.
The dude from Cramerica Industries, right?
Yes, the intern, yes.
It's nighttime. She's ready for him in bed. He's been eating a burrito on the toilet. He's drinking Turbo Lax. His stomach is wrecked. He walks in very uncomfortably, stands on the bed, gets over her, and she says, not yet. She wants to savor this, but he's really got to go. She straddles him. It's just destroying him. It's killing him. She decides she wants it on her neck. She's got lavender lotion. He's farting all over the place. She keeps saying, not yet, not yet.
I wanted it to be a misunderstanding.
That would have been funny. Yeah, that would have been funny.
That part where it's like, when she said, whoa, what are you doing? I thought like, oh, wow. Wouldn't it be awesome if she meant something completely different? And he's done all of this now with the idea that he's going to take a shit on her. Like, yeah, I wanted it to be that, but then I realized, nope, she really meant poop.
Okay, so she wants to reminisce about when they met, wants details from him on what she was wearing. He finally yells, a yellow sundress. Come on, roll over and let me shit on you, please. She's offended.
Yeah.
She says, excuse me. He said, sorry, I meant poop on you. I would never shit on you. I love you. She runs away, and he's running after her with the ring. They go outside, and that's when a car hits him, and he shits all over the windshield. They're calling an ambulance. There's shit everywhere. She says, all of this was for me? It's so beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. She'll marry him. They kiss. The short's over.
This is the one where now, like, I was starting to, like, it was more poop humor than actual funniness. But I'm going to file it for the JB Smoove.
Yeah, see, that's the problem is, like, he's inserted his name into the Golden Dumpster conversation heavily with that scene. But the rest of it is awful, so I have to give it a thumbs down.
I'm conflicted because I actually think the two of them do a great job in this one. I think she's super funny. I think he really sells it. JB Smoove is hilarious in it. Being rude to the random guy is super funny to me. But I don't like a lot of shit humor.
This was no Million Ways to Die in the West.
I'm going to thumb it up. I can't believe it, but I'm going to thumb it up. I thought it was just funny enough.
That's how I feel. Like, you know how you just complained earlier about how We're the Millers just doesn't qualify because it just beat the 40%? This is how I feel here. Like,
this is a 47% skit.
This is a 47% skit, yes.
Now we go back to the through line of this whole thing. We've got Cougar Crate on the laptop as the older brother is trying to load it up with viruses. The kid becomes obsessed with finding this movie. He's gone a beautiful mind with it. He goes to Falcontron, the most elite search on the internet.
Yeah, only 50 people have access. 12 of them are heads of state. What president or prime minister of a country is like Googling?
Putin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
For the exclusive. All right, we have a new short. It's Veronica, grocery store. And Kieran Culkin is the checker. Emma Stone is the love interest. Griffin Dunn directed this one. You know him. He was in American Werewolf in London, and he directed the movie Practical Magic.
We know him? Those are your accolades for we know him?
Well, if you've seen American Werewolf in London, he's one of the guys.
I don't remember that movie.
And some guy named Matt Portnoy, who hasn't done anything else really, wrote this one.
Okay.
A lot of one-timers in this thing.
I wonder why.
Emma Stone walks up to him with a basket full of just random shit, and they just start insulting each other with the PA system still on.
You look pale.
You look pregnant.
You look like you slept in a soup kitchen urinal.
You look like you bathed in a dumpster behind the abortion clinic.
You look like the kid who got cancer for Christmas.
You look like the slutty one on the Golden Girls.
Dorothy?
Blanche.
You take that back! You son of a bitch! You take it back! Oh. Take that back!
This was my favorite one, I think. I even enjoyed his riffing of the specials, like senior prom special, lambskin condoms and boxed wine, deadbeat dad discount, disposable cameras and wiffle ball bats, and a 2-for-1 deal on Beeve lotion.
They're flirting, they're arguing. They argue chicken versus the egg over essentially who has HPV.
It's your HPV, Veronica. I'm just carrying it.
Everybody can hear them because of the PA system. He named his dog Veronica. She sucked off a hobo for magic beans.
He was a wizard, Neil!
He sticks his finger in her mouth and then rubs it all over her lips and chin. She cries a single tear. They flirt. They kiss.
Her crying, by the way, is I was very impressed.
She's a good actress.
I was very impressed because her eyes welled up.
They eventually kiss. Everybody's watching them. She walks out and says she'll see him in church. Then an old man grabs the mic, gives an inspiring speech about him going after her. The freaks want to help him take that sweet ass to Pound Town, and they're taking over his shift at the store. The old man says, don't be a bitch about it, just go.
The old man's speech made me laugh, which is, I'm no Romeo, folks, but I know what love is. It's an over-the-chinos rub and tug during your first AA meeting. And if I was in your shoes, I'd climb Dick Mountain mouth first just to get her back. I laughed so hard at that little speech he gave. Climbing Dick Mountain mouth first.
Short's over. Three thumbs up and a thumbs down. And
thumbs up.
The old man's speech just pushed it over the top. Yeah, I'm going thumbs up.
Yeah, I'll do the same. Without the old man's speech, it's a thumbs down. We get an iPod commercial for something called iBabe, where it's just a naked woman who is an MP3 player. But that'll come back later.
Future callback.
Now it's time for superhero speed dating.
This is the crown jewel.
This one is Justin Long from Accepted. He plays Robin. Jason Sudeikis from the Horrible Bosses franchise plays Batman. Uma Thurman from the Kill Bill franchise plays Lois Lane. Bobby Cannavale from The Other Guys plays Superman. Kristen Bell from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, plays Supergirl. John Hodgman from the Apple commercials and The Daily Show plays Penguin. Leslie Bibb from Talladega Nights plays
Wonder Woman.
Katrina Bowden is in this one, and the only reason I bring her up is because she's in a movie called Piranha 3DD.
She's also Suri from 30 Rock.
Oh, that's who that was. Okay.
Amin's favorite show.
He would actually like, that's the frustrating thing. He would actually like it. This is directed by James Duffy, who also directed a short called Robin's Big Date and a video game called Drift Girls.
Okay.
Will Carlo wrote this one. He also plays the Riddler. All right. So Robin is on a date at a speed dating situation.
Before we start, have either of you ever been speed dating?
No.
No, I want to, though. I've wanted to do it since 40-year-old virgin.
When I went to the Star Wars convention, last one in Chicago, Star Wars Celebration, part of it, because it was being paid for by Disney, I did a podcast for a Levitard show. They did Star Wars speed dating, and all these people were like dressed up as Star Wars characters, but they were also looking for love, like legitimately looking for love. And so I interviewed the dude who organized, and apparently he's got the speed dating company that just travels the country, does all these Comic-Cons and conventions. He has a Marvel one that he does. He does Star Wars one. He does Star Trek one. I was like, this is a great hustle. It's amazing. But no, I've never myself been speed dating.
Batman pulls up a chair during the speed dating, saying that Robin missed a meeting with his parole officer, says he got in trouble a little while back for whipping out his little Dick Grayson on a playground. Then tells the girl that he's married, and she walks out, cock blocks Robin, and Batman says, well, there's a bomb there. They've got stuff to do. That's when Uma Thurman walks up as Lois Lane, and she does not remember Robin. Also, she broke up with Superman lately, who's been stalking her. She says last night he was floating around outside her window, stroking his curl and masturbating. He broke her window by blowing his wad all over it.
His jizz is like a shotgun blast.
That's a callback to Clerks, right?
No, it's Hancock.
What?
That's the deleted scene from Hancock.
Shotgun jizz?
Yes.
Isn't Clerks, aren't they debating what it would be like if, or maybe it's Mallrats? It's some Kevin Smith thing.
Zach, you're exactly right. Mallrats, quote by Brody Bruce, it's impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Do you think her fallopian tubes could handle the sperm? I guarantee you he blows a load like a shotgun right in her back.
Not by the science. Batman walks back up and cock blocks some more.
Nice to see you. Nice to be seen.
He's super casual. Man, I just fucking love Sudeikis. Thumbs up this one. I'll just say it right now. He gives Superman a call. Hey, Supes, it's the Dark Knight. What's up, brother? Was just thinking about you because I'm sitting here with Lois and she's on a date with my man Robin. Immediately, Superman shows up, grabs Robin, threatens him in the bathroom. Robin says they're undercover for a bomb that's there. Superman then leaves.
Stay away from Lois, bitch.
Robin comes back to the table, but the date is over, and Batman has a date with her on Thursday.
Dirty Mac?
Not only that, she says, nice legs. And he says, yeah, he makes me wear this outfit.
And that's after Batman was explaining to her, yo, I said wear some pants, but he likes the outfit the way it is.
I'm such a dick, man.
All right, Robin asks for one more date before they investigate the bomb, and Batman wants to be in his ear about it. He wants to hide under this small little table with no covering. And that's when Supergirl walks up, played by Kristen Bell. Batman is under the table. He can see her vagina and says, like, it's a giant fucking cornfield down there. It's enormous.
I feel like at any moment, Shoeless Joe Jackson could walk out of it and I could play catch with him.
Robin says that he hears Krypton's nights, but he's never been. She's like, she asks him if he's heard the sun supernovaed and wiped out their entire race. Batman says he wants to wash dishes with her bush. It's such a disaster down there. He feels like Sean Penn should do a benefit for this thing. She says she can hear him. Also, she can see him because it's a cafe table. She walks away and Robin says, I'm sorry about your family dying.
The best was like, Robin's like, oh yeah, you have x-ray vision and super hearing. She's like, no, I can just see him.
So they walk over to Penguin, who's also doing the speed dating, and Batman says to the girl, hey, you mind fucking off for a bit? He starts strangling Penguin, looking for the bomb. Wonder Woman walks up trying to stop him, wants to know why Batman didn't call her back. He's scrambling to figure out why. She says the bat condom broke and she went to Planned Parenthood by herself.
Not very romantic talk. Roe v. Wade.
Not very romantic talk. Roe v. Wade on a date.
Oh my God.
Wonder Woman is talking about how he cries when they fuck and he's a pussy for being scared by seeing some bats when he was a kid. Then the Penguin walks up and he has Supergirl with a bomb wrapped around her neck. Batman says, wait, how did he get over there?
How the fuck did he get over there?
Robin saves the day.
He hits the Penguin. Says, ah, my non-monocled eye.
Yeah, he throws like some fucking like martini juice or something. My non-monocled eye. He disarms the bomb, saves the day. Now they're going to kiss. Batman's trying to explain how to kiss her with his tongue.
Open her mouth and touch tongues. Put your tongue inside her mouth, and that'll coax her tongue to go into your mouth. Mm. Yeah, you squeeze boobies. Yeah, and touch her butt. Mm. Mm. Doesn't it look nice?
It looks so nice.
Batman says, not so fast, then rips off the face of Supergirl, and it's the Riddler. And all of a sudden, he's taller. All of a sudden, I love that the mask is off, and he just stands up taller.
And also looks very bored with the entire proceeding. Oh. Wait, did you know this whole time that she was actually he? Like, yeah, what? Why did you make me kiss her then? I guess I woke up this morning with a little case of the fuck around.
A bush that size is only good for one thing, and that's hiding away.
Oh my God. Yeah, I woke up with a little case of the fuck around, so you think I'm not stealing that. Short over. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Oh man. Not only was it thumbs up, but at this point, I began to think, yo, what if I like this movie?
I mean, I had the same fucking thought.
Oof. Interstitials aside, I was like, yo, the shorts have been funny enough where I'm like, I think this is headed for a file.
I think I've thumbs up to every single one so far.
Mace!
What's up?
Mace, oh man, I don't know if you knew this. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. You know the best way to prevent hair loss though? Do something about it while you still have hair left. That's right. You used to have to go to a doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more five-star reviews than any of his competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. That's right. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/ding to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/ding. Get Keeps. Keep your hair.
I play for Keeps.
Machine Kids Short Time. It's people abusing ATMs, abusing vending machines, copiers, and we find out that it's not actual machines in there. It's just kids doing work. They're passing out money. They're passing out, you know, Coke cans. They're passing out the copies.
Lonely, unloved, hurt.
I laughed because they were so sad. And they crying and stuff.
And the tagline is just, machines, they're full of kids.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs up. I thought it was funny.
I'll thumbs up it. I liked it. Younger brother clicks the button on the thing. A video pops up. None of this matters. All right. The man says all these bad things are happening for watching movie 43.
Fisher Stevens says the word thick-dicked wolves at one point.
Older brother has a connection with the cougar on Cougar Crate.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, Mace thumbs that down because he's used to putting in the money and getting kids out.
Yeah, they took away my kid vending machines. It's a bummer. It's a pandemic.
All right, it's I, Babe, Mean Short Time. This one's got Richard Gere.
Jack McBrayer, our Mean's favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Kate Bosworth from 21. Asif Manvi from The Daily Show. This one's directed by Stephen Brill, who directed Heavyweights, Little Nicky, Mr. Deeds, Without a Paddle, Drill Bit Taylor, and Walk of Shame.
Oh, wow.
A lot of bad movies.
That's a very specific lane.
Rocky Russo, Jeremy Sisenko also wrote this one with three other people. Two of them were Europeans with this is their only credit. It is a meeting figuring out the problems with iBabe. We're finding out that there's a vent in the vagina of the iBabe, and kids are losing their fingers. Their dicks are getting mangled. And there's an argument whether it should be called the vagina or the vagiport. Richard Gere is confused. He keeps saying it's a high-fidelity music player. That's when Kate Bosworth has to explain, yes, but it's also naked, attractive women that...
Settle down, Aaron Brockovich!
...that feel like real women and look like real women. So young boys are going to be attracted to those naked women. That's when Asif Manvi says their research doesn't support that.
Yeah. There's also a line in there where Richard Gere complains, like, oh, do you have to put, like, don't fuck this on, you know, I can't remember, some common household item. This is where the movie starts to lose steam for me.
Gere asks if another guy had any of these problems in research. He holds up a nub for a hand and says no. Asif Manvi says there's a three-step problem. Step one, kid buys iBabe. Step two, kid fucks iBabe. Step three, kid mangles dick and sues iBabe. And they're trying to eliminate steps two and three. Gere says to move the fan and put it in the ear. That's a ridiculous thing. And then the iBabe special edition is brought in, and it's a black woman. Kate Bosworth is apoplectic. There's a commercial to end that one with barbed wire on the crotch that says, don't fuck it.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, I'll thumbs down this one.
Thumbs down for me.
There's something there, but it just wasn't great.
There's a little, you know, kind of the whole, the women don't listen, aren't being listened to in the board meeting. And it definitely evokes, when you think about all the dumb decisions that happen. For instance, like when ESPN had an auction for fantasy football, and you think to yourself, like, did no one stand up or say, like, God, this is a bad idea or whatever. It evokes a lot of that, but it was a little too heavy-handed.
Next one is Middle School Date. Maze, calm down. This one's starring Chloe Grace Moretz from Neighbors 2, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who's McLovin.
I went to a UCLA versus Kentucky, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It was the year Jamal Murray was at Kentucky. And I got courtside seats. And I was literally sitting in between. On the left of me was Oscar Robertson and like Jerry West, and on the right was Chloe Grace Moretz. And I didn't know, she looked familiar, I didn't know who she was, and the only thing that threw me off was people kept coming up to take pictures, and they would take pictures of her and they'd take pictures of Oscar Robertson, and I just kind of sat there like, I'm here too, guys. I'm famous for something.
What a Venn diagram that is.
I know, that's incredible.
Oscar Robertson, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Amin El-Hassan all in the same place.
The only way that story would have been better is if they asked Amin to take the pictures.
Yeah, that would have been great, yeah.
We also get Patrick Warburton, who's Putty from Seinfeld, and Matt Walsh, who's in Veep.
Yeah.
This one is directed by Elizabeth Banks, who also directed Pitch Perfect 2 and the new Charlie's Angels. Someone named Elizabeth Shapiro wrote it. She wrote 7 episodes of The Crossroads of History. I don't know what that is. some kid and Chloe are on a date and they start to kiss and McLovin is there. He's the older brother of the boy. Is he eating a cannoli?
Yeah, he's just in the kitchen with the cannoli creeping on him.
Yeah, creeping on these kids. We find out the girl's on her period. She's got a stain on her pants and leaves one on the couch. Very super bad-esque. She's mortified, but the guy doesn't understand it. He thinks it was fruit punch that was spilled. She leaves a streak on the wall as she's kind of creeping by. He thinks that there's fruit punch on the wall. McLovin then points out that she's on her period, and they all start freaking out. Putty walks in, who's the dad of the two boys, asks what's going on. And that's when McLovin says, Nathan's on a date for the first time, and she's bleeding everywhere. And he says, ugh, disgusting. I mean, congratulations, young lady. The kid calls 911, says his friend is bleeding out of her vagina, then asks why they're laughing at him. Putty tries to explain it.
Oh, my God.
McLovin offers up frozen peas and a sponge. He offers up a Swiffer and calls it a maxi pad on a stick.
Putty explains it so poorly. He says that in order to keep the lining intact, you have to insert an erect penis.
And Matt Walsh, who plays her dad, walks in, asks what kind of sick family squashes a large tomato on his daughter's pants. Walsh and Putty are about to fight, and that's when she screams to shut up. She's on her period. She wants to go home. Matt Walsh asks Putty if they have a camping tarp he can borrow and says not to. Yells at her to not sit in the car as he goes running out to the car. That's when Putty turns on the TV. It's two women on the beach. A shark eats one of them in the ocean, and the commercial says Tampax, leak proof.
Thumbs down.
Really?
Thumbs down.
I think the ending was weak, but I thought the first few minutes of it were pretty fucking funny.
I thought McLovin was a little funny. There was a couple of lines, but it wasn't funny to me.
Interesting.
They ended it with the pull my finger fart joke and then McLovin saying he has to take a dump.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's supposed to just be like, this is what guys are, right?
Yeah.
This is what guys talk about. This is what guys know.
Vagina's too complicated. Yeah, yeah.
Vagina's too complicated. We fart and we shit and all that shit, right? Like, that's...
I didn't think it was funny.
I think it should have been a thumbs up, but it loses me at the end. I thought the Tampax commercial was funny, but there's just too much of it that misses.
No, the Tampax commercial wasn't funny to me either. All of it was kind of very meh.
All right, we all thumbs downed it? Thumbed it down?
Thumbs did.
I like thumbs down better than thumbed it down. Thumbed it down feels sexual.
It does feel definitely. Yeah, I thumbed that bitch down.
All right, back to the video stream. The gang has stolen some kid from the driving. It doesn't matter. We're going to cut off his finger for not knowing about movie 43. Time for the happy birthday short. We got Stifler. We got Johnny Knoxville. We got Gerard Butler in this one. Gerard Butler plays leprechauns. Brett Ratner directed this one. You know him from Tower Heist, Rush Hour, Rush Hour 2, Red Dragon, Rush Hour 3. Jacob Fleischer wrote this one. He's written a lot of TV shows I haven't heard of.
Does Brett Ratner also have some problematic?
Yes.
Oh, did he?
I think they canceled Brett Ratner, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Brett Ratner, me too. He comes up when you just Google his name.
Stifler is pissed at Johnny Knoxville and he's moving out. He's mad that Johnny fucked his girlfriend. Johnny said it was a one-time thing for a week, but he wants to make it up to him.
Is my man Sean William Scott going to be Stifler for life?
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Oh, yeah.
He was Stifler in Cop Out, right?
It's a term of endearment.
But I wonder if, like, is there any chance for him to break out of that stereotype or that box?
Yeah, there's a chance, but I just not likely.
Because he was really good at Role Models, but it was kind of a Stifler-esque character.
Yeah, like I just think of him as Stifler in Role Models. Johnny wants to make it up with him. He has a birthday present for him. He takes him to the basement, and there is a leprechaun tied up. It's Gerard Butler. He's going to cut off their balls and feed it to them. He keeps talking about cutting off their dicks and cutting off their balls and all this shit. Johnny Knoxville wants his gold. He pistol whips Gerard Butler. Butler spits blood onto his face. Then Stifler starts to play good cop, says he's going to untie him. But before he can, Gerard Butler headbutts him. Now Stifler kicks him over, starts beating the shit out of him. Phone rings. It's another leprechaun. Lots of threats happening. The leprechaun hangs up.
Jeez, they're so in the balls.
Doorbell rings. He opens the door. It's a huge pot of gold. They drag it down to the basement. Stifler says they're going to keep the leprechaun and the gold, and that's when another leprechaun pops up out of the pot, shoots him in the nipples, shoots him in the eye, starts knifing them. Knoxville shoots both the leprechauns. They carry them out in bags to the garbage can. They make up, and now Johnny Knoxville has the second part of Stifler's gift. It's a storybook fairy in the bedroom, and he says, what am I going to do with this? And that's when she says that she sucks cock for gold coins. That's it. That's the short.
I literally laughed twice. I laughed when he says, geez, they're so in the balls. And then the other time is when Johnny Knoxville's on the phone and he's demanding a ransom, and Stifler whispers, "That was good. You said it's so tough." I laughed at those two lines. Other than that, the entire thing was the sound that Maze just made was how I felt watching it. That's a thumbs down for me.
Yeah, I'm thumbing it down.
I mean, anytime you can bottle the chemistry of the future cinephobe Dukes of Hazzard and put it in a short with leprechauns, Gerard Butler cussing his ass off, you got to thumb it down.
I also just flat out don't like Gerard Butler, I've decided.
Yeah, no, I don't like him at all. He's a hack.
Yeah, I've also heard he's a prick.
Hack and a prick.
Hollywood for a good 4 or 5 years just force-fed him to us.
The younger brother's building something with a motherboard and a microwave. It's fine in movie 43. Nobody cares. Truth or Dare short now. It's Stephen Merchant, who we know from Hall Pass.
Oh, I love Stephen Merchant.
It's Halle Berry from Catwoman.
Yes.
And they are on a date via Match.com at a Mexican restaurant. She says she uses Match.com now because she exhausted all of her options. Doesn't want small talk. She says, "Do you really care if my father's a garbage man?" Which Stephen Merchant goes, "Oh, is your father a garbage man?" And she says, "No, that's not the point."
I enjoyed the small talk at the beginning.
Everything he delivers is fun.
He's really good, yeah.
Yeah, she wants real things, real conversation. He still doesn't get it, and so she wants to play Truth or Dare. She picks Truth. He wants to know if he's her type in any way, in any realm. She says yes. She likes tall guys. He picks Truth. She wants to push the limits. Is he circumcised, this man?
Circumcision has never really taken off, to be honest, where I'm from. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not the vogue. I tend to associate it with Jewish people, and, you know, we don't have many Jewish people in Europe anymore because of the trouble. So, no, I'm not.
The trouble! He's so good.
He's so fucking good. She picks Truth. He wants to know the last time she kissed a guy. It was 26 days ago in an alley behind a yoga studio, something like that. He picks Dare. She dares him to go pinch the ass of a man at the bar. Says to go cup his ass. He's like kind of hemming and hawing about it. She says she can go home and watch Family Guy, which I thought Amin might appreciate, the idea of Halle Berry watching Family Guy.
Yeah, did you like that, Amin?
I'd love to go watch Family Guy with Halle Berry, so yes, I appreciate it.
He gets up and does it. The guy punches him. He walks back to the table. She picks Dare.
The guy slapped him.
"You touched the wrong ass, asshole!"
Says to be original, because he says that she's got to go cup his ass. So that's when he says that she has to go blow out the candles of the blind kid celebrating his birthday at the restaurant. She does it. The kid has no clue.
That's how I knew it was a Peter Farrelly one. Because that's a callback to Dumb and Dumber with the blind kid that lived with them in the building.
Now we get a montage of Dares. Merchant is stripping for a bachelorette party. She makes guacamole with her right tit. He gets a dick tattoo on his face. She puts El Diablo salsa in a turkey baster and then puts it up her pussy. She's crying, by the way. She also does a good job of crying in that one.
Oh, yeah. Her eyes well up.
Then Snooki is reading Moby Dick to Stephen Merchant.
Topical.
She gets terrible plastic surgery to basically look like that Catwoman. Not Catwoman, but like the person who got...
not future callback Catwoman.
Not future callback Catwoman, but that lady who had like the infamous terrible plastic surgery. Then he gets plastic surgery to make him look almost stereotypically, offensively, cartoonishly Asian.
Not almost. Problematic was my note.
Right. Very problematic. But it does have somewhat of a payoff because he walks her back to her place. They're having an awkward goodbye. He goes in for a kiss and she rebukes him, saying she's not attracted to Asian men. He understands. And then she reopens the door, says, "Psych, get in here, Yao Ming. We don't want these puppies to go to waste in their cartoonishly enhanced breasts."
Second time in the history of this podcast that Halle Berry has notoriously undraped her breasts.
I don't think that happened this time.
But they're not hers.
This one was, because I love the start, and I love both of these people, but... And I'm a very big fan of escalating things from regular to absurd, but it's going to be a thumbs down for me.
Wow. That is the upset of this podcast.
I think they could have delivered the same joke without it being stereotypically cartoonish Asian, like with the teeth and the hair. I thought it was poor taste.
It definitely goes downhill severely after the blind kid. Man, the ending is so bad. Yeah, I'll thumbs down it. The ending is so bad. Last half of it's terrible.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Bad Dream montages from Hall Pass, but worse. So I will thumbs down it as well.
Younger brother is still hacking the dark web. Something called Terrapin Protocol has been activated. Movie 43 is loading and property of the U.S. government.
This is a long sequence.
And the younger brother's in the video. It's been 141 days in the darkness, which only is of note to me because that's coincidentally the same amount of time we didn't have the NBA.
Wow, future callback from Movie 43.
There you go, future callback. It's a top secret Cold War initiative. Everybody turned on each other. All these countries have fallen. It's a message from the future. Older guys have severed heads.
No Regrets has a realization that he has a regret when he realized that he jerked off to his own mom on CougarCrate.com.
Yeah, well, wait. No, that's that. No, you jumped the gun there, right?
No Regrets.
Maze likes to go a little early.
He asks, why am I Rain Man here? Technically fulfills our bingo card.
Yep.
Shit hit the fan. The other brothers are in real time are stoked about this. The younger brother says he didn't do it. That's when the older brother discovers he masturbated to his old mom on Cougar Crate. Explosions happen. Younger brother can fix it, but he needs his laptop. Problem, though, it's got all these viruses. April Fools. Fast forward 2 years, 3 months, and 4 days later, everything is a wasteland. Older brother is in a wheelchair in the city. He gets stuck on a rock, falls out of the chair, moves towards the laptop. He opens it, and he can reverse the Terrapin Protocol, return the world to normal. Are you sure? Sure, sure. For 100% real. Keeps clicking yes, and then it says, well, that's impossible. How about you watch a movie? Now we're in a video about 1959 and the first black high school basketball team called Victory's Glory. Terrence Howard is the coach, and the basketball team is scared because 10,000 white people think that they're not good enough.
And it's Corey Brewer, Larry Sanders, Jared Dudley, and Lawrence from Insecure.
That's right.
Lawrence from Insecure was a big upset here. I was like, is that Lawrence from Insecure?
Terrence Howard says that, first of all, win or lose, he's proud of them. Second, they're going to win. It's just that plain and simple. Jared Dudley starts saying the white boys from Hickory Tech, and coach asks them what game they're playing. Corey Brewer says basketball. Coach says that they're white and you're black. This is basketball. Am I speaking fucking Chinese? You're 25-0.
My dear, they're practically Chinese.
He says, that was all black teams that we were playing. He goes, that's the point. You're going to kill these Caucasians.
But what about their fundamentals?
Ask one of the players how long his dick is. He says, I don't know, coach. Foot and a half?
That's Lawrence.
Foot and a half? He goes, their arm isn't even that long. White team walks in talking shit, saying the game isn't for them.
Negroes going to play basketball or what?
Yeah, you Negroes. What's the matter? Did you realize you didn't belong in a white man's game, you Negroes?
That's right, this isn't a game for Negroes. Mm-mm. It's a game for good, honest, white people. Mm-hmm. Not for Negroes. You understand? Negroes!
White knights!
White knights!
White knights!
White knights!
White knights!
Hey, Coach, they look tough.
And that's when Terrence Howard mocks him, says they might dribble with their left hand, go for a left-handed layup. You know what's going to happen? You're going to swat that shit, then jump over them and dunk in their face. This ain't hockey. He keeps saying they're black. God gave you a foot and a half dick.
Yeah.
Dribble with that motherfucker. They start to slow clap as they rally. He says, cut that shit out. I hate that. Get out there and win.
I was so disappointed he didn't drop a main, though.
Oh, man. They destroy the whites. There's one shot of a timeout where he writes on the clipboard, you're black.
That was so good.
Then there's some controversy at the end. There's a foul. The white guy hits a granny free throw late in the game to push the score from 103 to nothing to 103 to 1. The white people celebrate. Then we roll credits with 15 minutes left on the time, which confused me.
What? And then in my notes, I had at least three segments that were still not done yet, but two of them, I guess, were cut from the movie. I don't know.
Yeah, so then we get bloopers from the kid breaking over the guy saying he wanted to fuck his mom.
Well, hold on. Are we going to thumbs up or thumbs down?
I thumb it up.
Yeah, that's a thumbs up for me.
I wanted Terrence Howard's rebuttals to be a little bit more creative. Only a couple were funny. A lot of them were just very repetitive. You're black. They're white. I'm like, no, you got to keep doing foot and a half dribble with it, whatever. He's going to go for a shot. I wanted him to say, Lawrence over here is going to block it with his dick. Like, I wanted like more of that.
You wanted more dick jokes.
God damn.
I wanted it to be a little bit more colorful. In a way, I was thinking to myself, I wonder how Sudeikis would have done it.
Mm.
He would have had like 8 million different kind of...
But is that fair to hold Terrence Howard to Jason Sudeikis comedy?
Someone wrote it. I want someone to write the goddamn joke. I'm not just saying...
That would have been like 80% Sudeikis just riffing.
Yeah, I bet you Sudeikis didn't have a single scripted line as Batman.
Right.
That was all just him off top.
Just woke up with a case of the fuckarounds on shooting that day.
No one wrote that down. That's his.
Here's why it sells me. Here's why I'm sold on it. One, when they start slow clapping, cut that shit out. Yeah,
I laughed at that, definitely.
That's funny. And then Jared Dudley had a breakaway layup, which I thought very accurate.
Yeah. Oh, no, the whiteboard.
The whiteboard.
That one, definitely, I cackled
and
at
the
that.
Look on his face. He's just like, wide-eyed, like, come on, guys.
Yeah, thumb it up, you coward. What are you talking about? That's a good one.
Yeah, I'll thumb it up. It could have been better.
I mean, all of these sketches are elevator pitch, one joke conceits that just get extended.
No, I know. But like to me, for instance, the Batman one was beyond question, right? The Hugh Jackman one to me was funny beyond question. This one is a lot like the Chris Pratt one, where it's like, oh, man, if y'all just tightened it up, it would have been so freaking funny. But, you know, I laughed enough from these two or three moments to give it a thumbs up.
Then we get a cut of Elizabeth Banks and Timothy Oliphant kissing. And now it's time for It's Beezle. It's a cartoon cat in live action.
Oh, you did it, though. You called him Timothy Oliphant. That's Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel. Yeah, I was about to say.
Whatever.
It's the doppelganger.
Oh, do they look alike? I don't know what
they look so alike. It's
wild.
Yeah,
they look a lot alike.
And Josh Duhamel is trash. And Timothy Oliphant's like actually good.
Timothy Oliphant's great, yeah.
Okay.
They're having an intimate moment on the couch. That's when Beezle interrupts. And Josh Duhamel is snuggling and kissing the cat. She's got questions about the relationship with the cartoon cat. Says that the cat doesn't like her and he disagrees. Then they kiss again and Beezle does the I'm watching you thing. I'm all good on that joke now. It's been a long time since Meet the Parents. Pointing to the eyes, pointing to the person. That's got to go.
Meet the Parents did not invent that joke, by the way.
Whatever. They made it like as popular as possible.
Oh, you mean kind of like
no.
White Chicks Made 1,000 Miles?
Later, she gets out of the shower and
Grammy Award nominated song, 1,000 Miles.
Ranked number one in the U.S. 2 years before White Chicks comes out.
And yet, check the Spotify.
What? What does that even mean?
Check the Spotify.
Check the Spotify. Check the streams.
Check the streams.
What does that even mean?
Check the streams.
Check...
How is
Spotify didn't exist when this movie came out.
Oh, that's convenient.
What?
Got an answer for everything, don't you?
Amin, you want to hand me back that shovel that you're digging your own grave with?
You sure you want to keep aligning with Terry Crews, or?
Oh, fuck. Damn.
So, yes, I do have an answer for everything. It's just going to be that from now on. All right. So later she gets out of the shower and catches Beezle jacking off to pics of Josh. Beezle chases her outside, tackles her, scratches the shit out of her, sprays her with piss. Josh keeps making excuses for him. That's when she gives an ultimatum. And Josh picks her side. They kiss and now it goes to them fucking, and Beezle is in the closet watching, crying by putting a loofah?
Hairbrush.
It's putting something up its ass, a hairbrush up its ass.
It's not a Swedish loofah.
Now they're looking for Beezle and can't find him. She goes outside, and that's when Beezle runs her over with a truck. Beezle has a shotgun, shoots her in the back. She grabs a shovel, starts beating him down the street, pans out to her beating the shit out of him, and it's in front of a young kid's birthday party. That's when the kids attack her, and they start stabbing her. Beezle jumps into Josh's arms. They start making out. Roll more credits.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. How do you guys feels today? Let me tell you, feels is a better way to be. Our premium CBD will keep your head clear and help you feel your best. It reduces anxiety, it reduces pain, it reduces sleeplessness. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, sleeplessness. Places a few drops under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. Are you new to CBD? Well, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide you through the experience. Me personally, had a couple of restless nights during this whole pandemic, wasn't sleeping great, did a couple of Feels the next day, boom, out like a light that night. You know, get a little joint pain because I'm getting up there in age, little Feels CBD under the tongue, boom, joint pain gone. Greatly reduced. It's so easy to use. It's so good for you. It's just the better way to do your life right now. It will naturally help you feel better. And there's no high, there's no hangover, there's no addiction. You can join the Feels community, get the Feels delivered to your door every single month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Become a member and get 50% off your first order. 50% off. It has me feeling my very best every day, and it helped you too. 50% off your first order with free shipping. by going to feels.com/ding. That's FEALS.com/ding. Become a member. 50% off. Taken automatically off your first order with the free shipping. That's feels.com/ding.
I was very disappointed to find out this was directed by James Gunn. Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn, who is a very funny guy, but that was not funny.
Well, here, I'll read you a quote that he was convinced to do the film by Elizabeth Banks, and he blames her for it. He added, "I didn't even get to edit that stupid thing," and he's never seen it.
Yeah, that makes sense then, because it wasn't funny. And Elizabeth Banks, I guess she had some money in this thing, because she's one of the few people to have repeat business in this movie. Also, by the way, Elizabeth Banks, maybe leave the directing alone.
Ooh, wow.
Oh,
wow. And I like Elizabeth Banks, but like, I just realized it now when you said, oh yeah, she also did the new Charlie's Angels reboot, and she did Pitch Perfect too. I'm like, you know what? Maybe you just be actors. How about that?
Sequels, movie 44 and movie 45 were planned. George Clooney turned down a cameo role as himself in a segment where he would be shown to be bad at picking up women, to which his response reportedly was, no fucking way.
Nice.
This was filmed over 4 years. Kate Winslet, Hugh Jackman thing was the first one to be filmed. Charles Wessler used it to secure financing for the rest of the movie. Called in a lot of favors to get as many high-profile people as possible for these short films, most of them working for a few days on something unconventional. None of the actors knew completely what the other segments were about or how the full movie would be. None of the major actors wanted to promote it when it came out.
Shocker.
Stephen Merchant said that he signed on mainly to be around Halle Berry.
Smart man.
Yes.
Not screened in advance for critics because Rogue Pictures was afraid of bad reviews, making audiences miss the film. Prescient.
It's so funny, like the idea that like we made a bad movie, but we don't want to screen it because we don't want people to find out that it's a bad movie.
The two missing segments, one of them directed by Bob Odenkirk called Find Our Daughter, and the other called The Apprentice, directed by Steve Baker and Damon Escott, were removed on studio orders following a test screening due to the highly offensive subject matter. One of them was on the DVD as a deleted scene, whereas The Apprentice premiered separately at the 2014 LA Comedy Festival. They didn't even include it with the movie.
Do we have any idea what was so offensive about them?
The Apprentice is about a mortician who's a secret necrophiliac.
That's the line? That's amazing. It's like, no, we can't have anyone fucking a corpse. We did all this other stuff.
This movie is absurd. Like, how are you going to put your foot down on just two of them?
By the way, Trey Parker and Matt Stone were initially set to direct the segment, but they dropped out because they disliked the script.
Liev Schreiber and Naomi Watts, married in this movie, married in real life until 2016. Anna Faris and Chris Pratt play a couple, married in real life until 2017. Wessler first came up with the idea for an outrageous comedy made up of several short films in the early 2000s. It's like Funny or Die, only if you could go crazy, Judge Farrelly, because with Funny or Die, there are certain limits, and we just wanted to do that kind of short and go much further than that. Charlie Wessler affirmed that he wanted to make a Kentucky Fried movie for the modern age, and then the part of the trivia that made me very upset is that Charlie Wessler has an Oscar because he produced Green Book. Charlie Wesker has...
Oof, that's rough.
Golden Dumpster nominees, J.B. Smoove, Emma Stone, the old black man hopping on the PA to talk about love, Jason Sudeikis is Bat Douche, that Shoeless Joe Jackson joke, McLovin creeping with a cannoli, The Trouble, Stephen Merchant, Snooki reading Moby Dick, and Terrence Howard writing You're Black on the whiteboard.
Oh, man. I mean?
It's between Sudeikis and Merchant for me.
Yeah.
I want to say, man, when he says, yeah, the Shoeless Joe Jackson line, said, I had to pause the movie because I was laughing too hard. I'm going to go with Sudeikis saying Shoeless Joe Jackson, although Stephen Merchant saying The Trouble was just so...
Oh, good.
So good, yeah.
I was going to go The Trouble until Mays mentioned Sudeikis as Batman, and now I'm just thinking about it's like one of the Roe v. Wade line is such a it's a throwaway line, and he kind of mumbles it a little bit, but it reminded me of talking about getting your dick sucked for 7 minutes by a guy in the movie Hall Pass, and when he says I could last 7 minutes. It reminded me of that. But it's also like he tells the girl, hey, you mind fucking off for a bit? And he says, yeah, I woke up had a case of the fuck arounds, just wanted to have some fun. It's Sudeikis. Like,
he tells her to fuck off for a bit. It's just so...
Hey, you mind fucking off for a minute?
Yeah, man.
I'll sweep it. It was basically the same three that we were debating in Hall Pass. It's J.B. Smoove, it's Stephen Merchant, and it's Jason Sudeikis. So
I didn't even see that through line. I completely forgot all three of those guys were in that movie. Yeah.
And I love his Dirty Mac also.
Oh, so good.
See you Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He cooks.
I can't imagine a situation which he doesn't make me laugh.
There's got to be a movie where he's not funny in, but I've yet to see it.
All right. Phobe or file, Amin?
This is tough, man. This is tough because I think I walked away from this movie saying, oh, it's terrible. But now going through the different sketches, Five Shape Files, I phobed the period one, I phobed Leprechaun, and man, this is a file for me, man. I don't think I would have filed it otherwise. But as I'm counting the different segments, I thumbs down the overarching story.
Yeah. We didn't get to that one, but I think we all thumbs that one down.
Oh, you know what? No, it's a phobe. I hated more of this movie than I liked. Although the parts I liked, I really liked. I'm phobing it.
Wow. Maze?
It's a pretty straightforward phobe because this isn't a fucking movie. Like, this is just a hodgepodge of half-baked ideas. If they had developed two or three of these into something, I would have been more into it.
On that basis, if all of them were at least as funny as Chris Pratt and at most as funny, obviously, like in that band of funniness, would that have changed your vote? Same structure, same format.
I think that there's a possibility that this format could have worked, but there needs to be something tying the movies together. More than what is apparently an alternate plot that's not even what they originally did.
What if it was the original plot where it's Greg Kinnear and they're being pitched, where it's a lot more believable?
It's hard to imagine, but it's possible. I mean, like, the thing is, if this was like a I Think You Should Leave 15 minute at a time sketch comedy thing on Netflix, I might like it. Because then it's easier to just like toss away the ones you don't like, right?
Right.
And just think about the speed dating thing. But because this is supposed to be a fucking movie, and it's not. Also, like, maybe the shortest movie we watched, it's 98 minutes, but considering how long the credits were and the fake credit, it was like 80 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't feel short, by the way.
No, it felt real long. Generally, my rule is, and you know what? I don't even care. Like, to me, it was never going to be decided by, did I like more sketches than I disliked? It was just going to be an overall feeling. And generally, my rule is, would I watch this again? If I saw it on TV, I'd want to know where it is in the movie, right? As much as I like some of the other ones, I would basically just want to know, is it time for superhero speed dating?
That's the high point, yeah.
I liked a lot of the other sketches, but it's also just not a movie. And so it leaves me wondering, like, what if we had just done a full movie of superhero speed dating? Like, just like the regular ass lives of these superheroes in this world, right? Like, to me, that's super funny. But I would want to watch that part again. I also feel like I can probably just go on YouTube or view this or whatever, you know, on Zwoogle, and search that if I'm really that interested in watching this again. So I think I'm gonna sweep it. It's a phobe.
Wow!
It's
the first sweep in quite a while, boys.
A long time since Scary Movie 3.
Wow.
I thought about halfway through this movie, I thought, holy fuck, I'm going to file this thing. Yeah. I really thought I was.
They front-loaded that first half, didn't they?
They did. Should have spread that out.
After the speed dating one, I was like, yeah, I'm in. You know what? Like, the interstitials are terrible, but I'm in.
That's how I was going to be, too.
No Tony Medley, I'm guessing?
No, Tony sadly did not watch this one.
That slacking son of a bitch.
God, I wish he had.
Thought he would have exploded, just died right there in the theater.
Just him with the neck nuts would have been enough.
He would have got up and left. Yeah, and he would have let us know. And then would have questioned why Kate Winslet and Hugh Jackman, two of his favorite actors, would ever agree to be in something like this.
Because Mark Wahlberg would never do that.
Yes, which for once, that is a justifiably good question.
It is. It actually is.
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.
Next.
You're up.
My pick?
You're up.
So I've been teasing that I got one that we are going to sweep as a file.
Is it Envy?
It's not Envy. is also one, though, that I just really want to, you know, cause some pain with.
Are you, like, mad right now? Like, where are you at, like, emotionally, like, going into this pick? Are we all mad at Amin for picking movie 43, or are we all kind of, like, indifferent?
I feel like you guys should be happy. Even though we all phobed it, I think we should be happy because that introduced us all to the superhero speed dating.
I guess I'm neutral on it because he didn't know what he was doing. It's not like he was like, yo, I've seen this before, and trust me, you guys are going to like it, and then tried to convince us the whole hour and a half, right? Like he usually does. Like, we didn't get that. So I'm not angry at Amin. I wouldn't even say I'm disappointed. It just kind of was what it was. It just, it, like, this episode and this movie exist.
So what do you got?
I've been upset because last time, because when he had A Million Ways to Die in the West, he tried to bully us into filing it. So, like, I'm still upset about that.
I went back and I listened to the pod for A Million Ways to Die in the West. And I swear to God, both of you guys are the biggest fucking liars in the world. Because, again, the glee in your voices as we're talking about this movie. You guys love this movie. And then at the end, oh, I'm going to phobe it. Like, it just...
May said it right in the chat.
I'm sincere.
I was on the fence. You tried to bully me into file, and I pushed back, and I phobed it.
Actually, I didn't bully into filing it. What happened was...
You tried to.
No, I didn't even try. What happened was...
Amin was May's so angry it, at me.
And I was so angry at him that I threw you under the bus. Yeah.
He just opened fire.
Maze phobed it because of Hamilton, and you phobed it because I threw you under the bus when I was attacking Maze. But it should have absolutely have been a green sweep.
So in Amin's mind, there's an asterisk.
It was a lot of humor I didn't like. I only liked about half that movie.
You're lying.
But the parts I liked, I really liked. I mean, I'll always have.
Pick your goddamn movie.
Practically Jenny.
Pick your goddamn movie, because I'm going to tell you right here. I'm the one person on this podcast you can say I truly vote with my true feelings about the movie. I don't involve any other emotion. Wow. But you two bitches do this shit every time. Wow. No, you only go fuck
yourself.
All right,
motherfucker. You know what? We're putting the good pick on hold. After Earth.
Oh, my God. No.
Look what you did.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Please don't do this. Please don't do this.
After fucking Earth.
Please don't do this. Come on, man.
We're going to die before we make it to 50.